It's the annual CW Arrowverse crossover. The Comic Bugle is here to give you our thoughts on what went down on the three episodes of Elseworlds.
We're going to take a deep dive into all the new characters, like the Monitor, Dr. Destiny, and of course, Psycho Pirate.
And don't forget the introduction of Batwoman, Lois Lane, and Arkham Asylum.
And Superman is back.
And we got a few questions. But was it better than the last one? What about all those Easter eggs and references? And why does the Arrowverse always get it right?
And of course, we're going to talk about that big reveal at the end. Something huge is coming. And frankly, we can't wait.
So let's jump right in.
All right, Jay, before you get the ball rolling, help me out. I need a little bit of background on how we got to Elseworlds.
Well, The Flash, more than any other show in this universe, has affected this particular story. And we need to start right from the beginning. Right, Jay?
Totally. Season 1, pilot episode, it actually started all of this. At the end of that episode, Eobard Thawne, who is the Reverse Flash, he asked Gideon to see a future headline where the Flash went missing in a quote-unquote crisis in 2024.
And over the last few seasons, that headline has barely changed. Maybe some minor tweaks. And the effects of Barry's daughter, Nora, returning to present day at the end of last season to help her dad beat the Thinker, actually is our new starting point. Her true motives weren't revealed until the beginning of the season when she returned to present time to prevent crisis from occurring. And in doing so, she may have dramatically altered the future and sped up the process to where we are at now.
That's right. So let's start with some questions about Elseworld. First of all, what did you guys think of these three episodes? Darren, why don't you kick us off?
Well, I am a huge fan of crossovers in general. I think it's awesome when you can bring stars and superheroes from different storylines and put them all together and they're working towards a common goal. I think that's fantastic. And they did it really well in Elseworlds. I really enjoyed this. I'm not, as we've said before, I'm not a huge DC fan, but I thought the bringing together of these three huge stars was awesome.
I gotta agree. I really like when they do these crossover events. Yeah. It feels fun. They're light, they're easy to digest, and they usually introduce some pretty interesting villains.
And they move pretty fast, too. That's what I noticed right out of the gate from Elseworlds. Episode 1 was moving. It was going.
But, you know, the one thing I will say, like, you know, I don't always want to be the negative Nelly on this podcast, but they're very much standalone episodes this time versus the last crossover that really felt like going from this one to this one to this one, like a very cohesive story. This one felt a little bit more like you could watch this first one, maybe later on pick up the second. Like it didn't feel like there was a sense of real urgency to jump into the next episode.
Do you think that it's because maybe every episode almost started off in a new location? That's why you may have felt that it was, you know, not necessarily a continuing story, but, you know, the first episode, you know, they're back and forth between Central City and Star City, but then you're going to Gotham in the second episode, and then they're back again. So it almost felt like you were somewhere different every time. Is that?
Yeah, that's definitely a great point. I really liked the end of Arrow's episode, where all of a sudden there was this Superman cliffhanger. And then I wanted to keep going. I was like, okay, we are on Earth 38. What is going to happen now?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, we weren't on Earth 38, were we?
No.
That was Earth 1.
That was Earth 1, yeah.
My brain is scrambled. They had to go to Earth 38 to get the other Clark back.
Exactly. That's right.
That was one part that was a little hard for me to keep up with. Was which Earth was for who, and there was Earth 90, and there was Earth 38, and Earth 1. It's like, okay, when you start throwing all these different Earths, it gets a little confusing pretty quickly.
Can I just say I really enjoyed Clark? I love when Superman gets it right. Like, Henry Cavill's great. I think he's going in the right direction after Justice League if he comes back. But I really like this Clark.
He's pretty good, yeah.
He's got almost like a a little bit of Christopher Reeve, a little bit even of Brandon Routh, almost that innocence that you kind of expect from Superman.
Yeah. Well, he is the Boy Scout, right?
That's right. That's right. So that like, you know, I enjoy when he comes back into episodes. And I think it was great to have him as part of the crossover. And to be fair, seeing him in that black suit and then thinking of where that black suit could have been in Justice League, you know, you're just like, ah, they kind of got it right here because it was, you know, a different Superman, right? But
and you got that line as soon as he saw him. Nice suit. And heat vision.
Yeah.
Awesome. Although I don't think that they get heat vision right in the Supergirl universe. I want to see red, but we always get this blue.
Well, that might be alluding, as we've talked about before, to the point that she is actually on a different power level than he is. As powerful as Superman is, she's actually stronger than him. So maybe that's
this
why
is
her...
why he doesn't feel bad about going to Argo and leaving her in charge.
Right. Because he knows, yeah, she anything I could handle, she can handle easier. Yeah.
All right, I got another question for you. What do you guys think of the Easter eggs? What was your favorite Easter egg from these three episodes? I'm going to just jump in first. Arkham Asylum was a hell of a lot of fun watching the names go down that hallway.
That was pretty cool.
Cobblepot, Crane. It was fantastic.
Don't forget Nora Freeze. You got the actual Mr. Freeze gun from Batman and Robin, the movie.
Yeah.
The nice little touches, like, and that's one of the things that I enjoy from these crossovers is that not only do they introduce things, but they kind of almost like they remember the past a little bit. Even though some of those movies were terrible, like it's a great way of making a nod to saying, you know, where we've come from, where we're going, and this is where it's continuing to go to. So
well, the
Arkham one was great. The
script writer was in Arkham, which was like a real deep cut. Because when I saw Guggenheim, I looked it up thinking, who am I missing? And it is the writer of the crossover
who
put his name on a door.
Wow. That is a deep cut. Yes. Well played. I didn't realize that either, so that's well played. Good job.
All right, Darren, what was something you saw and you were like, you know what? That is excellent. I'm so glad they put that in.
Bane's mask. And I was like, hey, isn't that... I didn't realize what I was looking at because it looked familiar, but it went by pretty quickly. But I was like, hey, that's his mask. So that was the one for me that kind of jumped out for sure.
Caesar, what about you?
I think the ones that I enjoyed the most was right at the beginning of the episode of the first one was the old Oliver Queen / Green Arrow costume from Smallville.
Of course. Good call.
And also they did a nice Stargirl reference from the original Legends of Tomorrow season 2. Which I enjoy.
I have not seen.
Right. And so that's when they did Justice Society of America. Right. Oh. So there was the little touches of that. And I know, obviously, I know for you, you love that Smallville reference at the beginning with that music.
Okay. That surprised the ever living hell out of me when all of a sudden I heard somebody say, I was like, no.
Even I caught that. Yeah.
What are they insinuating? And then we're at the real Kent farm.
And even though like the interaction between Lois and Clark reminded me of Smallville, Lois and Clark.
Sure.
Like when she kept calling him Smallville and even the voice a little bit, I was like, ah, like I can close my eyes and I can feel like I'm watching Smallville.
Yeah.
So like those are the ones that I enjoyed. Obviously like the bat symbol and, you know, the myth and almost how they're tying almost every universe in the DC universe, almost to kind of say that we're all part of the multiverse and even having 90s Barry Allen as the Flash coming in and pointing out to John Diggle, hey, where's your ring? Oh, like that just was like blowing my mind. I love that part.
I can't believe you caught that because I didn't catch that. And I feel like a bad fanboy or something for missing that John Diggle could be a Lantern. Was there anything you guys had to look up? For me, it was Lois Lane's hammer that she used.
Yeah, I had no idea what that was. No idea.
So I looked it up and it is a solar hammer that goes with a cosmic anvil, and it was from All-Star Superman that is sitting on my tablet and I have not read yet.
That's what he was saying. Oh my God, so many Easter eggs.
That's poor studying from you. That's all I have to say.
Did anybody catch the Mallrats reference to if Lois gets a suntan and the sun while she's pregnant, that would be bad?
No, I did not get that.
In Mallrats, Jason Lee's character, Brody, says, and what? You think Lois could carry Superman's baby? If Lois gets a tan, the kid will kick right through her stomach.
I did think it was cool when they were referring to the fact that, oh my goodness, if this baby starts kicking or when it starts kicking, she needs to be on Argo.
Got to get to Argo.
That was cool. I was like, that makes sense.
Actually the best idea
ever. Yeah, that did make a lot of sense. I was like, oh yeah, fair enough. That's a super baby.
Wow, super baby. That went over my head.
Oh, really? Yeah, I got that. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
I watched Mallrats quite recently, so don't feel too bad. So where do you guys think this crossover is going to take us? Like, what is next?
Well, of course, Crisis on Infinite Earths is coming!
I mean, of course, like, that's the big thing, right? Like, you introduce the Monitor, the Anti-Monitor is going to come, we need Crisis.
And don't forget Psycho Pirate.
And Psycho Pirate.
Worlds will live, worlds will die, and the universe will never be the same.
Dun, dun, dun.
How excited were you seeing that?
I may have peed a little bit. because it's coming earlier than expected, you know, you never know. There may not necessarily be enough time to fit all these shows in for this particular crisis. So the fact that they're speeding it up, there's going to be things that are going to be changing. Now that we know that it's coming, what is going to happen between, you know, the end of this season for both Arrow, Supergirl, and Flash, to what's going to happen at the end of, or at the beginning of next season? Remember, they didn't point to saying it's a crossover. They're saying it's coming in the fall of 2019.
Here's what I think. I've got a prediction. What if all of these shows for a season is Crisis on Infinite Earths?
That would be beautiful. That would be amazing.
Yeah, an entire season. That would be epic.
Every week, it's three episodes. Because this is the biggest event in DC history. It shook things up so much that they had to retcon a lot. A lot of it they didn't retcon. They just kept moving. But it was the moment in DC history that just, boom, end marker, start right. Again.
No, that's a great point. I think for what they're doing is, it's going to be almost like a reboot of the series, of all of them, to kind of get back into what they're doing. I think it's also a way for these showrunners to, they screwed up Flashpoint. Like, let's be honest. Flashpoint was terrible on The Flash. It was,
that was like
an episode and a half.
The worst season of The Flash.
So I think this is their makeup of what they did with Flashpoint. Mm-hmm. And like, man, I can't wait. Like there's going to be so many teases from now until the end of the season.
And you're the resident DC guy. I mean, you are watching these shows inside and out. I'm jumping in during the crossover events for the most part at this point. You know, these crossover episodes, what I love the most about them is it's a way to get me back into these shows. And I don't really have to invest much more. They're always going to get my viewership when they do the crossover.
And the way they're doing them is really good, because even in a scenario like yours and mine, where you haven't seen everything that's happened, they're picking it up and you're able to still jump on board and be like, yeah, I know who the main characters are. I know who the players are. I know what's going on. I have a general sense of what's going on, and move forward, as opposed to every 5 seconds, who's that guy? What's that? Why did that happen? What, you know? So I think it's really smart on their part, the way they are doing it, without a ton of references back to stuff that might be a little obscure for people who have missed some episodes.
I think one of the questions I want to ask you guys is, what is Oliver giving up, right? Because he went back to the Monitor to do something, and it cut right out.
Yes! That was my big question watching the show. I was like, hey, you missed something there, because... what did he do? What did he give up? Was it his love? I mean, I don't know.
I think it was Felicity. I think if he's giving up anyone or anything, it's going to have to be big. And I think it's Felicity.
Oh my God.
That moment of, you know, I'm always going to, we're always going to be fine. I'm going to change. You're going to change. But we will never change. What we have will never change. Let's face it. Oliver has always been a sacrifice player. He has died on the show.
He'll jump on the sword for sure.
But Felicity?
Well, but it's going to make it even more powerful, obviously, because they just had that moment, as you said. Nothing's going to change, no matter what. But now we're going to find out, unless the fate of the universe is at stake, then I got to let you go. It's like, oh, God!
Walking away from love kind of thing.
Oh, God. That's tough. That's going to be tough. Yeah. That's going to be a three-tissue episode.
Now you know what we think and what we thought of this amazing Elseworlds crossover episode. We want to hear from you. Remember, you can always reach out to us and let us know your thoughts on what we thought. Did you agree? We want to know.
Thanks again for listening to the Comic Bugle. We'll be back again soon with more superhero news.
And if you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember to send us your thoughts. You can reach out to us on Twitter at The Comic Bugle. Until next time,
I'm Darren.
And I'm Caesar.
And I'm Jay. Thanks again for listening. And until our next big story, remember, not all heroes wear capes.